Well, I read about one pastor who was driving down the road and he saw this street sign. And on the street sign were these words, Halfway Boulevard. And the pastor thought to himself, that's the street that most Christians live on. In our Bible passage today, we find a man that was not satisfied living on Halfway Boulevard. He was not happy on Nine Mile Hill. He was not happy on One Mile Bridge. He was not happy on Midway Lane. No, he had to be right in the middle, right in the heart of the things God was doing. If you would, turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 20. That's on page 988 in the Bibles in front of you. If you want to follow along, Acts chapter 20 and verse 20, Acts 20 verse 17 is where we're going to begin. And of course, we know that Luke is recording these events that Paul was going through. And we read in verse 17 that from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus and called for the elders of the church. And when they had come to him, he said to them, you know, from the first day that I came to Asia, in what manner I always lived among you, serving the Lord with all humility, with many tears and trials, which happened to me by the plotting of the Jews. How I kept back nothing that was helpful, but proclaimed it to you and taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying to Jews and also to Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. And see now, I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there, except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul said, none of these things I'm enduring, none of these things that I'm going through move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and that I may finish the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus Christ to testify to the good news gospel of God in Christ Jesus. Paul says to us, I don't care. I don't care if they criticize me. I don't care if they beat me. I don't care if they lock me up. I don't care if they stone me. I don't care if they kill me. I want to be an all-out dedicated Christian. I'm going to finish my race. You see, Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. He always was glad to be identified with Jesus Christ. He said on one occasion, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation. Listen to this. To everyone who believes. Amen. To the Jew first and also to the Greek. Have you ever noticed that many believers are so willing to speak out against sinful behavior? So many believers are willing to speak out against those things that the devil speaks for. But when it comes to Bible truth, when it comes to how they got saved, when it comes to what the good news of Jesus Christ is, they're as quiet as mice. If you didn't know better, you'd think that those children of God were ashamed to speak out for Jesus Christ in the world we live in. But I want to tell you, not Paul. Paul declared, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed. He also did not argue with God. You see, whenever the Spirit of the Lord spoke to Paul's heart, he started packing his cases. Whenever the Spirit spoke to Paul, he started packing his bags. In Acts chapter 9, when the Apostle Paul encountered the risen Lord Jesus on that Damascus road, the Bible says, trembling and astonished, Paul said, Lord, what do you want me to do? In Acts 16:6, after a little stay in Galatia, the Bible says that Paul, Silas, and Timothy were forbidden by the Spirit to go preach in Asia. Then they tried to go into a country that was called Bithynia, but the Spirit did not permit them to go there. Then that very night, Paul saw a vision of a Macedonian man pleading for help. And right away, Paul left for Macedonia. My point in telling you all of this is this. Paul did what God told him to do. We are to do what God has told us to do. Can I say that obedience is probably the greatest attribute in the true servant of God? Obedience to what God has already given to us. Paul wasn't ashamed of the gospel. And Paul also never argued with God. He just did what God told him to do. But Paul also was not afraid of the goal. You see, Paul knew where he was going. And Paul knew what it was going to cost him to get there. And yet still, Paul refused to give up. Thank God for men and women who refuse lukewarm, half-hearted, casual obedience when it comes to the Lord's business. But we all don't do that, do we? Friend, there is not one single Christian alive that has any business living on Halfway Boulevard. It should be all in for the Lord's business. So today, if you agree with me, do you agree with me? Raise your hand. Good. Amen. The Spirit has done prime the pump. Amen. So if being that you agree with me, if you desire to move on to a more active, more obedient life of service for your Lord, Jesus Christ, then I'm telling you today to pack your bags. To pack your bags with some very valuable items that will help you move into your new location, off of Halfway Boulevard and on the busy street and Active Avenue. Amen. Here are seven values that need to be in your suitcase. These are seven values that need to be a part of your life if you're going to move on off of Halfway Boulevard. The first is this: the go of commission. God told Abraham to go, and guess what he did? He went. God told the same thing to Moses, to Joshua, to Elijah, to Peter, to Paul, to the blind man, to that adulterous woman, to the maniac in Gadara, and many, many others. God said, go, and guess what they did? They went. God tells us to go too. God tells us to go too. In the last dying command that Jesus gave to us before he ascended to his Father's right hand was his great commission. Y'all, I know this sounds repetitive, but I just can't get over it. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all the things that I've commanded you, and lo, I'll be with you always, even to the end of the age. God tells us to go too. And one day, in the Old Testament, Isaiah received a similar charge. See, Isaiah got a glimpse of the Lord one day, and he was very troubled at that encounter because of his own sinful condition. But as soon as he turned away from those sins, he was ready to go. He was fired up and ready to go. In fact, he was so convicted that Isaiah said, "Here I am, Lord, send me." Send me. Is that you this morning? Here I am, Lord. Send me. You see, it should be as normal for a believer to at least have the desire to go with God's good news as to breathe. You're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you should have this innate gut response to go with God's good news. Think about this. When you go to a family reunion, you ought to go with God's good news. When you go to work, you ought to go with God's good news. When you go to Walmart, you ought to go with God's good news. When you go hunting and fishing and camping, you ought to go with God's good news. Friend, wherever you go, you ought to go with God's good news. In my heart, there is something inherently wrong when a child of God doesn't want to go with God's good news. Something's got to be wrong. And I wonder what that could be. Could it be that they've never experienced the good news themselves? And therefore, it's not that big a deal? And so why would they tell others something that they've never received for themselves? The first value that we need to pack our bags with is this go of commission. But there's more. Because we should also include in our suitcase the glow of compassion. You see, compassion develops and grows as you and I see needs. At work, in town, corner of the road, whenever you are exposed to a need, Just the Jesus in you will build up some compassion. David said in Psalm 86, verse 15, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion, gracious and long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth." So if you're going to exit off Halfway Boulevard, you and I both need to learn to imitate God in this area of compassion. As he saw the multitudes of people who were hurting. As he saw the multitude who were blind and weary and grieving and scattered like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus was moved with compassion. Moved with compassion. Friends, I fear too often that sometimes we become a little numb to people's pain. We see it. We see many people in poverty. We see many people addicted to drugs. We see many people who are broken, who are grieving, who are separated from God, but for some reason we don't even give them a second thought. But when our Lord Jesus witnessed these things, it moved him. When the Lord Jesus witnessed the broken, the addicted, the demon-possessed, the sick, when he witnessed it, it caused him to act. When he witnessed those things, it provoked him to respond out of compassion. You see, friend, this glow of compassion, it helps us exit off of Halfway Boulevard when we begin to see needs and allow the needs we see to become addressing needs. We don't just see the needs anymore. Now we're driven, we're moved to address the needs that we see. That's the glow of compassion. So to move off Halfway Boulevard and onto busy street and Active Avenue, dedicated Christians must adopt not only the glow of commission, but also this glow of compassion. Now there's another value that needs to be in your suitcase. And that is the grip of conviction. Whenever anyone makes a commitment to God, that commitment ought to grip his soul and change his life. It should be a life-changing experience. His or her mind should be made up that from that point forward, the Bible is right and that settles it. This is God's word and that settles it. What God says, that settles it. You see, there used to be a day when right was right and wrong was wrong. But it seems now that sometimes those lines get kind of blurred. What used to be black or white now seems to be kind of gray. And as a result of that grayness, we're kind of in a mess. Paul wrote to Timothy saying, All scripture from the table of contents to the maps in the back are inspired by God. And they're profitable to teach you and I what's right, what's not right, how to get right, and how to stay right. All scripture. And when he was describing the Holy Spirit, who, by the way, is the author of the scriptures, right? The Holy Spirit through men, right? Speaking the word of God. Well, while he was describing the Holy Spirit, Jesus said that when he, the Holy Spirit, has come, he will convict. Here we go, that grip of conviction. He will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. You see, friends, when these vital issues of sin and righteousness and judgment, when they come into our lives, they ought to grip our lives to the point where we are aligned with the will of God now. But it doesn't happen automatically, does it? Can't speak for you, but I'm still under construction. Got a lot of work to do in this old boy, but I'm gonna stay right here in the Word so I can continue to be changed and continue to be aligned with the will of God. But because it doesn't come automatically, I need to realize that it's going to require a little bit of effort on my part. There's a part that I have to do here. What's my part here? Well, when Paul and Silas preached their conviction of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a town called Berea, in Acts 17:11, the Bible says that those people in Berea, they received the word with all readiness. They received the word and they were ready. Amen. But not only did they receive the word with all readiness, afterwards, listen to this, they searched the scriptures daily. You ain't never going to get the grip of conviction until you search the scriptures daily. Amen. I mean, it ain't a wonder that some people come into the church in one door and right out the other door, and they end up in worldly living, they end up in cults, they end up in some other belief system. Why? Because they are not convicted to the core of their being by what the Bible teaches. When that happens, it's a lot harder to walk out the door. When biblical convictions grip us, God then gives us a genuine purpose and a clear-cut direction. Friend, listen. Has God's word gripped you? Gripped you to the point where it's changing you? I can't answer that question for you. But is God's word gripping you to the point where it's changing you? It should. Values like the go of commission, the glow of compassion, and even the grip of conviction all ought to be those things that will give us off of Halfway Boulevard. But so does the godliness of consecration. It seems that many Christians are moving further and further away from this value. You might say, well, Bill, what are you talking about? This godliness of consecration. Well, what I'm talking about here is sacrifice. I'm talking about sacrifice. See, Paul pleaded with the believers in the Roman church saying, present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice, a living consecration. You see, one of the most godly things that you and I can do, listen, is sacrifice. That means giving up something of yours for the benefit of someone else. Sacrifice. I pray that that's part of your life. I mean, think of the godliness that Jesus Christ revealed in his sacrifice for me and you. He gave everything that he had to give for me and for you. And when we receive God's gift of grace through faith in Christ, we should become utterly devoted, absolutely dedicated, and 100% consecrated both to him and to his continued work on earth. You've heard me say it before. If God didn't have important work for you to be doing right here, you wouldn't be here. You would be in heaven. But being that you're still here, God's got important work for you to be doing. And it may involve sacrifice. You see, the high call of God for us all is to consecrate, to be willing to sacrifice those things that we hold dear and offer them for his kingdom glory. Think of the many things that are important to me and you. Can't speak for you, but my life is pretty important to me. What about your time? Time pretty important? How about your leisure? How about your family? Is your money important to you? Are your possessions important to you? Is your comfort important to you? Well, God's not implying for a second that you sell all those things and then send the proceeds to church. He's not implying that you sell those things and send them to some TV evangelist. No, he merely wants you to take those things he gave you and consecrate them, set them apart for his use and his glory. Think about it. They were his before you had them. And being that you are only a steward and not an owner, he wants you to take what he's given you and use it for his kingdom glory. So, friend, you ready to pack your bags yet? You ready to pack your bags with the go of commission and the glow of compassion, the grip of conviction, and this godliness of consecration? All these values will help keep you off of Halfway Boulevard. But there's also the grace of consistency. Consistency. Friend, do you ever get tired of those kinds of people that are once in a whilers? Yeah, I come to church every once in a while. You ever grow weary of those people who call themselves used to beers? Yeah, I used to read my Bible. Do you ever lose patience with people who are later honors? Yeah, I'm going to do that later on. Friends, today, churches all over the country are full of sporadic part-time Christians. They have just enough religion to make them miserable. And some of those types of Christians, boy, they'll get stirred up in a worship service like this one. And then they will go AWOL for weeks. Makes you wonder, doesn't it? Think about it. The Word of God declares us to be steadfast, for us to be immovable, for us to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. Friend, I want to tell you that we know that our work is not in vain in the Lord. So always be abounding in His work. I thank God for Moses, who refused to be scared off by Pharaoh. I thank God for Daniel, who would not stop praying. I thank God for those Hebrew boys who refused to bow down before that 90-foot gold statue. I thank God for Joseph, who wasn't going to have no part of Potiphar's wife. I thank God for Jesus, who when he was tempted over and over and over again, you know what he told the devil? He said, "It's written." Jesus had the grip of conviction, amen. It is written. See, in season or out of season, God gives us the grace to stand consistently with the go of commission, with the glow of compassion, with the grip of conviction and the godliness of consecration, with the grace of consistency. All those help us to finish our race. But then there's also the gumption of communication. What in the, where is he gone now? Lord have mercy. Gumption. Gumption is a $50 word with a $1,000 meaning. Gumption. Now, here in the South, if a preacher preaches with unction, that means that he preaches with great passion and great energy. I pray that I preach with great unction. However, if he preaches with gumption, that simply means that he preaches by communicating common sense to the Bible. Common sense matching up with the Scriptures, right? How many of you know that God works through common sense? He's the one that gave it to you, right? So he gives us this common sense. And when we study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit then gives us what we call spiritual discernment. That's the next step above common sense. He gives us enough sense to say things and to do things to the right thing and the right time. Spiritual discernment. For example, Philip, one of the apostles, had spiritual discernment. When the angel of the Lord told Philip to catch up with that Ethiopian official, he didn't have a clue, y'all, what he was going to say when he got there. But when he caught up to his chariot, he hopped up in the chariot and said, "Hey, what you reading? What you reading?" And it wasn't long after he asked that question till he led that Ethiopian official to faith in Jesus Christ, had to have him pull over so that he could baptize him right there on the spot. Here's what happened. Philip had some gumption. Philip had an earthly conversation that led to an eternal decision. Jesus often did the same thing. Jesus often talked to farmers about sowing and reaping. Jesus often spoke to fishermen about what? Fishing. Jesus often spoke to shepherds about what? Sheep. He often spoke to carpenters about laying that good foundation. Having an earthly conversation that ultimately would lead to an eternal decision. That's gumption. So friends, you need to start packing your bags. We all need to start packing our bags with the go of commission. This glow of compassion, this grip of conviction, this godliness of consecration, with this grace of consistency and this gumption of communication. Because when you do it, you're going to get off of Halfway Boulevard. You ain't going to be satisfied with Halfway Boulevard no more. But there's one final place, one final thing that you need to put in your suitcase. And that is the grit of continuation. If you are absolutely determined that you're going to live a life that pleases God, then you're going to have to learn what many of our faithful forefathers learned. And that is persistence. Not giving up. No matter how hard it gets, I ain't giving up. It ain't happening. I'm going to be persistent to the end. I'm going to be continuing on until I take my last breath. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt. He endured seeing him who was invisible. He waited. Jacob was not going to let go of that angel until he received that blessing. Could have gone on for weeks. Moses was not going to quit praying and fasting until God changed his mind and spared the people. Elisha was not going to let Elijah out of his sight until he received Elijah's mantle. Jesus taught that through the parable of that persistent widow, that men ought to pray and not give up. Because he was so serious about getting his vision back, blind Bartimaeus hollered even louder when the disciples told him to hush. All of those accounts, many, many more in the scriptures, teach us this value of staying the course. Not giving up, persisting, continuing on until our last breath or until you get the desired result. I read about a man named Tory Johnson. And Tory told his experience about a plane trip that he took. And he woke up that morning before the flight and he began to pray to the Lord and asking God to present him with someone that he might be able to share the good news of Jesus with. Well, about mid-flight, a stewardess sat down in the empty seat beside him because the weather started getting a little bit jumpy. So she sat down, and you're not going to believe what Tory did. He began to share the good news with that stewardess. And lo and behold, she gave her life by faith to Jesus Christ. Well, as he then departed from St. Louis, the stewardess said to Tory, "If I don't see you again, I'll see you in heaven." Now, isn't that good news? How exciting is that? But then just a few minutes later, an announcement came over the intercom at the airport about a plane crash. And that stewardess was killed along with the whole crew and every passenger aboard that plane. Thankfully, Tory Johnson was not a halfway Christian. Thankfully, that boy packed his bags and was not content to live on Halfway Boulevard. God help us to get into God's business. So much to do. You wouldn't be here if there wasn't so much to do. Help us to get into the business of God and to get it into our heart that we got to get off of Halfway Boulevard. We've got to make our way onto Busy Street and Active Avenue. And so, friends, today I'm asking you a favor. A pastoral favor. I want to ask you to do something that I learned in Man Church. In Man Church, we've learned just recently to put our yes on the table. To put our yes on the table. Friend, listen to me. I'm putting my yes on the table. Maybe you need to too. Maybe you need to say, "Yes, Lord, I want to be forgiven of every sin I've ever committed. Yes, Lord, I want to be saved from the power of sin in my life. Yes, Lord, I want to live in heaven for all eternity with you. Yes. Maybe you say, Bill, I already said yes to that one. Gotcha. If that's the case, I still want you to say yes. I want you to say, yes, Lord, I'm ready to move off of Halfway Boulevard and to get with it. To get with it for your glory. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not going to argue with you, God, anymore. I'm not afraid of what it might take to reach that goal. I'm just going to pack my bags. I'm going to take your great commission seriously. As I watch you being moved with compassion, that's what I want. As I find that I study the Word of God and it convicts my soul, I want it to change me. If you haven't been consecrated, if you haven't set yourself and your marriage and your family and your life apart for Jesus Christ, man, today is the day to say yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I am going to start being consistent for a change. My church family needs me. My biological family needs me. They need me to be what you have called me to be. And I'm going to start communicating a little more carefully, a little more strategically. I'm going to start looking for these opportunities to have just a regular old earthly conversation, but somehow or another, work it around to where it might have an eternal destination for somebody. And finally, I'm just going to continue on. I'm going to keep on keeping on until the last breath you've given me. So whatever yes you need to say to the Lord today, this decision time is for you. And this should be a very exciting time because this could be the day that starts the rest of your life in a very real and incredible way. Let's pray together. Lord, you have redeemed me. You have bought me back from the clutches and the bondage of my sin, of myself, and my arch enemy. Father, the least I can do is declare that I am yours. Therefore, Lord, I ask you to use me, to send me, to make me into a vessel that will bring you glory. Lord, as much as you have spoken to me about my yes this week, surely there are others who are ready to say yes to. Just help them to be obedient and faithful for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. And all God's people said, amen.